Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. It's great to see you this morning. It's awfully chilly outside, but it's good to gather together in the house of the Lord. You know, I hope that you have all had opportunities to gather together with friends and family over these past few weeks. You know, the holidays can be filled with lots of different things, you know, food and fellowship. Anyone tired of eating? It amazes me. I never would have thought that I would say that, but I'm tired of eating. It's filled with laughter and cheer, gift giving and caroling and all kinds of good things. But you know, holidays may also be filled with a lot of other things, such as grief and loss, depression, loneliness, family tension and fighting. I don't know which of these is true for you. This morning, it may be that all of the above are true for you, you know? It's hard to get together with friends and family for extended periods of time and not experience some of these difficulties. But as we enter into this new year, I hope that you are approaching it with the goal of making this year your best year ever when it comes to your spiritual walk with the Lord. Every year we have an opportunity to reevaluate our walk with the Lord. We have an opportunity to make adjustments and to make adjustments to our daily routines and recommit ourselves to the Lord. And so as we enter into 2022, we're also entering into a week of prayer here at the church. And every morning this week, as Brother David announced just a little while ago, every morning this week from 5:30 to 6 a.m., as well as every evening this week from 5:30 to 6 p.m., we're going to come together in this place in order to pray. One of the things that you'll be challenged to pray about will be your personal spiritual rhythms. You know, that routine that you have every day to make sure that you're walking with the Lord. And I want to encourage you to make a plan for your daily disciplines. And, you know, they always say, if you fail to plan, then plan to fail. And so I want you to figure out how are you going to invest your time with the Lord this year in 2022. So last week we talked about four main requirements in order to be able to live a life of faithfulness. I want to reiterate those this morning. Do you remember what we said that they were? They're found in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. If you want to be turning to Luke 2, we're going to be finishing that chapter this morning. In Luke 2:40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." So there are four characteristics, four requirements, if you will, in order for us to live a life of faithfulness. First is spiritual growth. Second, spiritual strength or character. The third thing is spiritual wisdom. And then finally, the favor of God, or another word, you know, another way that word can be translated is the grace of God. Because as we noted last week, none of us can do this without making mistakes. Amen? And so just as we need the grace of God, we need to share that grace with others or extend that grace with others. I reminded you also last week of Paul's prayer for the believers in Colossae. That prayer is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And I challenged you last week to pray that prayer for yourself as well as for those whom you consider your loved ones, whoever that may be, the important people in your life. Well, I want to challenge you to add one more group of people to that group that you're praying, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And that is, I want you to add your pastors in that prayer. I want to ask you to pray for us to be filled with the knowledge of God's will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to pray for us to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Pray for us to bear fruit in every good work. Pray for us to increase in our knowledge of God, to be strengthened in God's power, and be strengthened for patience and endurance. And finally, pray for us to be joyful in all the circumstances that we may face, and pray for us to be thankful for those circumstances. I've provided this slide for you this morning. You can write those things down, or you can find it in the YouVersion Bible app, and I may share this slide later in the week, or maybe this afternoon if I remember, but so that you can have this list of how you can pray for us and for yourself. You know, because of the all-encompassing nature of this prayer, I refer to it as a prayer for a lifetime, because it's a prayer that you can pray for yourself and for others no matter what stage you may find yourself in or that they may find themselves in life. If you're able to join us this week for the week of prayer, you'll be encouraged to spend a portion of your time focused on this prayer. And so I hope you'll come. Well, the final section of the second chapter of Luke that we'll be looking at this morning focuses on an event that happened in the life of Jesus when he was 12 years old. Now, as was their custom, Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover every single year. And so here's Jesus at 12 years old, and he's gone with his parents to Jerusalem. But as they leave Jerusalem, Jesus did not leave with them. So let's read Luke 2, verses 41 through 52, to discover what it is that he was doing and why he was doing it. And from his example this morning, I hope that we will learn what our priorities should be when it comes to spiritual growth. Read with me as we begin in verse 41. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." So this morning, as I said, I want us to focus our time looking at Jesus's priorities at this point in time in his life. Again, remember, he was only 12 years old, but he was also the Son of God. And so he had things figured out well beyond your typical 12-year-old. He shows us an example here of what we need to prioritize. And the first thing that he prioritized was learning. Jesus prioritized learning. Notice what Jesus was doing when Mary and Joseph found him. Verse 46 says that they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. I want to ask you this morning, was there anything in the world that Jesus did not already know? No. He is omniscient. He was omniscient even as a man. He had full understanding, as we find throughout his ministry here on earth. He knew things that we could never know. He knew all things. And yet, the one who knew everything sat in the presence of the teachers of God's law for days. And all he did was listen and ask questions. He took upon himself the attitude of a learner. He didn't offend these teachers by his questions. Rather, it tells us in verse 47 that they were amazed by his understanding. Have you ever tried to teach a class and you had someone in the class that was a know-it-all? That wasn't Jesus, even though he did know it all. That's not the attitude. That's not the disposition or the demeanor that he had. He had the attitude of a learner. He took upon himself this demeanor of a learner, listening and asking questions. Now, when I consider my own personal life, my own situation and the struggles that I have personally, you know, we who are suffering from an evident lack of knowledge often act as if we know everything, don't we? Handing out advice and answering questions that we really don't even understand, but we want to act like we understand. We want to act like we've got the answers. But folks, if we want to increase our spiritual wisdom in 2022, if we hope to grow spiritually in 2022, we must learn to speak less and listen more. We must ask more questions than we answer. The Bible has a lot to say about listening more than we speak. The book of Proverbs especially talks a lot about that. Just a sampling of those, Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." The next chapter, verse 1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Proverbs 15, verse 31 says, "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." I love that verse. Listen to life-giving reproof. Nobody likes to be reproved. No one enjoys rebuke. But the fact is that is vital for us to be able to grow in our spiritual walk the way we ought to. These times of teaching every Sunday morning or in your community group or in your Sunday school class, those are opportunities that God takes to reprove you, to give you mid-course correction, to try to bring you to the place that He wants you to be. So the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. One more from Proverbs 19, verse 20. Says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." Again, the Bible talks about this a lot, but I think nothing is more succinct than the way James, the brother of our Lord, said it in James 1, verses 19 and 20. He said, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Did you hear that? The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If we want to live the life that God wants us to live, if we want to grow as Jesus grew, that we're going to be looking at in just a minute, we must remove the anger that is inside us. We must be quick to try to understand where someone else is coming from rather than just looking at the way we see things and assuming that we are right. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Because when we're quick to speak and quick to get angry, that does not produce the righteousness of God. Jesus prioritized learning. The second thing that we notice is that Jesus prioritized God's will. Jesus said in verse 49, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now, most publishers italicize this word in your Bible. If you look at it, the word house may be italicized. In my translation here, it does not italicize it, but it puts a little footnote saying that might be a different translation. Because the word house, or any other word that might be there, we're going to talk about some of those options, it actually does not exist in the original language here. It does not occur. A literal translation of this verse would actually include an ellipsis. Do you know what an ellipsis is? You know when you're writing and you put dot, dot, dot? You're not supposed to say dot, dot, dot when you're reading it, just so you know. I know that's true. But when you write it, it's just kind of this pause, and it's like, fill in the blanks here, okay? And so in the original, it would have, a literal translation would have an ellipsis. The translation would be something like this. I must be about the of my Father. It doesn't say exactly. So some translations vary in their rendering of this concept. The King James, New King James says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" The complete Jewish Bible said, "Didn't you know that I had to be concerning myself with my Father's affairs?" I personally like the Amplified Classical Amplified Bible. It says this, "Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my Father's house and occupied by my Father's business?" They just covered all the bases, but that's why it's called the Amplified Bible. The bottom line was that Jesus' priority was to be doing God's will. Jesus prioritized God's will. Now this verse in verse 49 contains one of Luke's favorite phrases. Daryl Bach, a commentator, notes this. He says, Luke loves to mark key sayings with the word Dei, D-E-I, or Delta Epsilon Iota in the Greek, which translated is, it is necessary. And he does this to show the presence of the fulfillment of God's plan. So anytime he uses this, he's saying it is necessary for this to happen to accomplish God's will and God's plan. He uses this at least 10 times in this gospel alone. Some of these would include Luke 9:22 that says, it is necessary that the Son of man must suffer. Luke 19 verse 5, in talking to a very short man named Zacchaeus, he said, I must go to your house today. It is necessary for God's plan, God's will to be accomplished for me to go to your house today. Luke 22 verse 37, actually in 22nd chapter of Luke, it's used three times talking about different things. But in verse 37, it says, the scripture must be fulfilled in me. He's talking about all of those prophecies that had been given to the Jews in the Old Testament. And he's saying that all of these things must happen in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Well, here he says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business. I must be in my Father's house. I must be concerning myself with my Father's affairs. It is necessary for me to do this. You see, early on, Jesus understands that he is called to do the Father's work. And so by saying I had to be, or it was necessary for me to do this, Jesus begins to undertake a path, a route that would one day mean that he would go his own way. And that way that he would go, a way that none of his followers thought was the right way, was the way of the cross. And because Jesus realized it was necessary for him to suffer, we can have eternal life. So Jesus had a singular focus on fulfilling the will of God in his life. So I ask you today, do you prioritize God's will, or are you more focused on my will, the things I want to do? Jesus said, I must be doing the will of the Father for my life. My question is, what are you saying today? Are you saying, I must be focused on God's will for my life? Or are you saying, I want to be focused on what I want to do? You know, this is actually a small part of the value of the prayer for a lifetime that I mentioned earlier in Colossians chapter 1. Because verse 9, if you're praying this for yourself or for others, you will be praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You will prioritize God's will. That's what you're praying in that prayer for a lifetime. So, we've seen two priorities that Jesus prioritized here. First was he prioritized learning. Second, Jesus prioritized God's will. The third thing that we see is that Jesus prioritized submission. In verse 51, after he had run away from his mom and dad for at least 4 days, because there was one day that they didn't realize he was gone, and then they looked for 3 days. He had been gone for 4 days. He was doing his Father's will. But verse 51 says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. In spite of who he was, which, who was he? Who is Jesus? He is God. He is the eternal God, the creator of the universe. And in spite of that, Jesus submitted himself to the authority of Mary and Joseph. Folks, we cannot forget one very important thing here. Jesus is 12 years old in this story. It was only right for him to submit to the authority of his parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Had Jesus not submitted himself to Mary and Joseph, then he would not be doing what was pleasing to the Lord. He would be breaking one of the Ten Commandments, which is honor your father and your mother. And as we know, Jesus never sinned. And so when his parents said, we need to go, he submitted himself to them and he went down to Nazareth, which, just as a reminder, even though Nazareth is north of Jerusalem, you always go up to Jerusalem and down from Jerusalem when you're talking about the holy city of Jerusalem. Daryl Bach, I mentioned him earlier, noted this about this, and I think this is a great understanding of what's going on here with Mary and Joseph and how they're feeling about this. He says this. He said, the pangs, P-A-N-G-S, the pangs of Jesus' priorities are what Mary and Joseph felt here. It is not unlike the pain some parents feel when children choose to serve God on the mission field or opt to go into ministry instead of some real profession. Sometimes the pain is a helpful reminder that our top priority is to serve God. You may or may not have had this experience personally. I know that when my wife and children and I went to the mission field, it was very difficult for George and Jereen and John and Linda. And the reason that it was so difficult for them was that they knew that we were following God's will, but they didn't want any part of that happening because it meant we were moving 10,000 miles away from home into a situation that they didn't know. And you know, there's always fear of the unknown. And so they were scared of what might happen. But they wanted us to do God's will, but they didn't want us to leave. You see this? I think that's what's happening here with Mary and Joseph. They knew that Jesus was born with a purpose. They knew that his conception was an immaculate conception. But this was their little boy. The child that was helpless in that moment that they laid him in the manger, that they have raised and nurtured and loved and cared for. And they knew that he had a bigger purpose, but they just wanted their little boy. I find it interesting that here in verse 51, Jesus went down with them and Jesus was submissive to them. But later on in Jesus' ministry, Matthew chapter 10 is where we find this. Jesus said something that seems to just go completely against what he did here. Matthew 10:37 says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." How do we reconcile these two different concepts? Well, I think it simply falls back to the fact that as children, our authority figure is mom and dad. But as we become adults, we become responsible to God, and we must obey God first and foremost. There would come a time in Jesus' ministry when doing God's will would usurp obeying mom and dad. But this wasn't the time in which that happened. So students, young adults who are still living at home, you need to recognize your parents' authority. Did you hear that? Authority. They are the authority in your life, and you need to have an attitude of submission. You say, well, that stinks. Let me just give you a hint into this, and I'm looking down here because most of our students are sitting right here. Let me just give you a hint about all of this, guys. You're under your parents' authority now, but you're under authority for the rest of your life. And so God gives us a tangible authority in our mom and our dad to help us to learn how to submit to authority, because the rest of your life you will have this unseen authority of God the Father, who expects you to submit to Him as well, even though you cannot see Him. Jesus prioritized submission. Finally, this morning, Jesus prioritized growth. In Luke 2:52, probably the most famous verse out of this passage by far, we find that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Four different areas that Jesus is increasing. But I want us to notice the verb tense of this word, increased. Again, you have different tenses, and it determines what kind of action is taking place. If I said that Caleb grew, if you don't know Caleb, that's my son, Caleb grew to be 6'5". Okay? Well, that means he grew, past tense. But, and I hope this isn't true, if I said Caleb was growing and has now reached 6'5", it means that he's still growing, right? The tense of this verb is that. It is something that is ongoing. It's an imperfect tense, meaning it didn't happen in the past, but it started in the past and has continued going until now. So it says here that Jesus was increasing in wisdom and increasing in stature and increasing in favor with God and also with other men. That's the difference between something happening in the past and something that is happening indefinitely. So in what areas was Jesus increasing? It says he was increasing in wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowledge. It's not just intellect. It's not just knowing things. Wisdom has an aspect to it that deals with moral issues, ethical issues. It's taking what you know and doing the right thing as a result. Jesus was growing in wisdom. You may ask, well, how am I supposed to grow in wisdom? I'm not the Son of God. How can I grow? Well, the beauty of that is that, again, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, James says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. All we have to do to gain wisdom is ask God to give it. And I think, you know what? That goes back to what we learned in verse 40 when it says, and the favor of God was upon him. The grace of God in our lives is God giving us wisdom, because we cannot gain it on our own. So he was increasing in wisdom. It also says he was increasing in stature. Now, in our modern understanding of this word, stature refers to how big and how tall someone is. But in the original understanding of this, of the Greek language, stature actually really referred more to years. He was getting older. We find in verse 40, or 40, where is it? 2, that Jesus is 12 years old. But now in verse 52, it's saying that Jesus is increasing in years. The years are going by, Luke says, and in chapter 3, we find that Jesus is now an adult man. And that's what we'll start talking about next week. So he's growing in age. Now, unlike modern Jews, there's no evidence that Jews in biblical times became men at the age of 13, like you have with a bar mitzvah or whatever. There is biblical precedent for referring to anyone that is 20 years old and below, or actually under 20, So anyone 20 years old and above would be referred to as an adult. Do you remember how we know that? Wanderings in the desert with Moses. And all of those who were under 20 were not held accountable for the disobedience that happened at Kadesh Barnea. And so 20 and above for sure was an adult. So we don't know exactly when an adult, you know, what's happening, but we know that at age 12, Jesus was still considered a child. And we know now in verse 52 that he's increasing in wisdom and he's increasing in age. So what we know for sure is that the only biblical reference to what happened to Jesus from the age of 12 to the age of 29 or so is this verse in Luke 2:52. He grew, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So literally this refers to his age. But you know what? I believe it can also be understood figuratively. And when I think about what it means to increase in years from a figurative sense, you know, age does not always bring wisdom, but it sure helps. Amen? Right? I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It talks about, you know, after talking about how God gave apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists and teachers, I got those out of order, to equip the saints for the working of the ministry, right? Verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. You see, that's what was happening to Jesus. He was increasing in stature. He was becoming mature. He was becoming a man. It says, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. You know what? It's easy to trick a child, isn't it? It's easy. But that's why we must mature. If we are still infants in our spiritual walk, it will be easy for us to be led astray, to believe someone who is teaching something that is not true. So we must grow in our knowledge and our faith to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, to mature manhood, so that we will no longer be children. Jesus was increasing in wisdom and stature. He was increasing in his favor with God, or in the grace of God. And he was increasing in the grace or favor with others as well. You know, Jesus' attitudes about his walk with God, his call to serve him, and his pursuit of intimacy with him are not a product of his unique position as the Son of God. His walk, his call, and his pursuit of intimacy with God picture how all of us should prioritize our spiritual walk. It shows how we ought to live our lives before God. You know, sometimes we have to make choices that other people do not understand, because God has called us to set priorities in our lives that are different from everyone else, that are different from all those who go through life without any acknowledgement of God. He wants us to be different. Sometimes our choices are going to be difficult. Because sometimes the choices we have to make in order to follow God are not the choices that other people want us to make. Folks, this comes with the territory when it comes to walking with God. God calls us, just like Jesus, to be active and prepare ourselves for the service with others. He wants us to be different. He wants us to walk with Him, to have an intimate relationship with Him. So the question to you this morning is very simple. Will you commit this year to model your walk with God after what Jesus did as He was maturing to manhood? Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to distribute our next recharge book. This is one tool that you have in your arsenal of tools to help you grow and help you to walk with the Lord. Very simple devotional study that helps reinforce the things that you're learning week to week on a Sunday morning and the things that you're going to be learning in your community groups week to week. Now, these devotional books this time are going to be a little bit different. As you know, in the past, we've had some devotional questions that you answer and then some soap journaling sections as well. This time, rather than having two devotionals each week, we're going to have three and no soap journaling. And that's not because I don't think soap journaling's not important, but rather I think that those of you who are going to soap journal, you're going to soap journal no matter what. And those of you who are not, I want to encourage you to do something different, and that is we're going to have a Bible reading plan in this one, where you're reading about a chapter a day, or 7 to 8 chapters a week that will take you through the entire set of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over the next 15 weeks. You'll go through them chronologically, or what they call a harmony of the Gospels. So you'll read what Matthew has to say about something, then you'll read what Luke has to say about it, and then if Mark talks about it, it'll be in there, and then John will be interspersed here and there, and then long sections of John. It'll take you through the life of Jesus Christ out while we spend this time studying each week in the book of Luke. So I encourage you, pick up one of those recharge books and spend time every day reading from the Gospels. Spend time several times a week answering those questions that help you dig a little deeper into what we're studying each week. Like I said, folks, this is one simple tool for how you can grow in your spiritual walk. It may just be that one simple tool, but you know what? For some of you, you don't have a plan right now. For some of you, you don't have a daily routine of what you are going to do to grow spiritually. If you don't have something, this is one way that you can get started. A very simple way to recharge your life. You'll notice on the screen above, this says a harmony of the Gospels in 30 days. This is the Bible reading plan that we're going to do, but rather than doing it in 30 days, we're going to do it in 15 weeks. So what they do in 2 days, you'll be doing in 7 if you go according to our schedule. But if you're one that likes to use the Bible app, you can scan this QR code. Or if you're one of my friends on the Bible app, I've already sent this to you and you've already signed up for it, or you've looked at it and said, no, I'm not going to do that, or whatever, I don't know. But this will help you to read through the harmony of the Gospels. Again, the goal is 2 days a week for the next 15 weeks. Well, this morning we've talked about a lot of stuff. We've talked about how Jesus prioritized certain things in His life to help Him to become the person that He needed to become. He prioritized learning. He prioritized God's will. He prioritized submission. And he prioritized growth. So my question to you, to bring this to a close, is which of these four areas do you need to focus on improving? Do you need to prioritize submission? Do you need to prioritize having an attitude of a learner? Which is your top priority to change in 2022? In order to make that happen, you have to have a plan. And so, what is your personal time with the Lord going to look like this year? What's your routine going to be? What's your plan for your spiritual walk this year? It's January 2nd. It's not too late to get started by any means. For that matter, you don't need a day on a calendar to get started. But I hope that today you will spend some time evaluating, where am I right now in my spiritual walk with the Lord? And where do I want to be this time next year? And make a plan to make it happen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time together today, and I thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to study your word this morning. Thank you for the example that Jesus is to us, and thank you that even as a child, he was doing the right thing. And so for us who are not living the way we ought to live and have not grown in our spiritual walk with you, Father, I just pray that you would help us to see that we can progress. We just need to focus on you little by little, day by day. And Father, help us to execute that plan. Help us to get those routines in our life. Lord, help us to grow to be more like Jesus this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.